Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wasota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Where it's a little windy out on Lake Wasota today, and we are going to be stuck in the 70s today across much of Wisconsin. So basically, you know, Pat Kreitlow musical tastes weather. We'll be stuck in the 70s. We'll get warmer Tuesday and Wednesday, then we'll cool down again for the rest of the week. All according to the National Weather Service. Chances of rain depend on what part of the state you're in, so monitor your local forecast to see about the possibility of rain Tuesday or Wednesday when the temperatures go up a little bit. Brewers are in trouble. There's just no other way to put this. I mean, they blew both games against Cincinnati Saturday and Sunday. They have gone 1-5 against lowly Pittsburgh and Cincinnati since the Josh Hader trade. It has been your classic terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week. The Brewers were up 4 games in the division. They are now 2 games behind the Cards in the division, and they just need to fix everything. Hitting, we've known about. Pitching, you know, we've known about. But especially defense. I mean, Luke and I were commenting, we both at some point over the weekend, you know, would throw up our hands and go, what are you doing? You know, these are drills you practice a million times. Again, I'm not pretending to be a major league athlete. I'm just saying, if you're a major league athlete, you make some of those throws.
Well, I can respect losing. If you play the game there and you just get out beat by the other team that you're up against that day, it's a long season. It's 162 games. You're not going to win all of them. I can respect that. But when you're losing because of sloppy play and you're not just doing like the fundamentals and you're allowing somebody to get walked in off of a hit pitch or just a pass ball, those mistakes are really frustrating as a fan because those shouldn't be happening. But we are in that slump right now this summer where it's post All-Star break, it's post trade deadline. The roster that you got is the roster that you're going to have through the end now. And it is, they're slumping a little bit. It's not great to watch.
No, but again, it's, you know, we're far from done here. The Cardinals had their own long losing streak recently. So, you know, we'll see what we can pick up. You know, like I said, summer's still going on. Summer was going on as well with the Wisconsin State Fair in West Allis. Christina Laurie put together a nice little video of that on Instagram. And Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau had a good run. And Evan Pretzer, our freelance reporter up there, put together a nice video that I posted on our Up North News social pages, Facebook and Instagram. So if you want some of the sights and sounds of summer in Wisconsin that don't involve Luke and me just, you know, caterwauling about gray skies and rain, that you want to go there for some of the happier stuff. As I was looking at Twitter, which I guess is, you know, like I've said before, it's kind of the new AP UPI teletype machine that used to, you know, clackety clack in the background of every newsroom. Now it's Twitter. And every so often you'll see somebody trending on there and you'll think, oh, did they die? You know, and you click on it and you find out they didn't die. You know, maybe they said something, but more likely nothing happened. And nobody knows why some things trend on Twitter. They just come up. And that's what caught my eye this morning with, and only gentlemen of a certain age will get this, Christy McNichol. And right now, every guy in his 50s and 60s, his ears just perked up going, oh yeah, whatever happened to her? You know, first TV crush of, you know, the entire early or late baby boomer, you know, generation. And I still don't know why she was trending. But I see a lot of people, you know, complaining about it. And one person put it best: when stars who are old enough to have been on the Love Boat are trending, Twitter should be forced to write "not dead" underneath if, in fact, they are not dead, because there's just too many people that spit their coffee out when they see a star on there and think, "Oh yeah, I remember watching them on the Love Boat." Has the Love Boat needs to make a comeback? Luke, I think that there have been enough. It's all reality shows now, and the reality shows are garbage. Okay, they're all fighting and throwing things, and we're talking about making radio pleasant again here. Let's make TV pleasant by taking all these reality people and give them a nice syrupy script and put them on a new Love Boat instead.
Yeah, but they're recreating so many ideas that have been previously done. So maybe there's a chance for it. I just don't know. That people watch the reality TV, Pat. That's the interesting part of it.
That doesn't mean it's good.
I'm not saying it's good, but there's a market for it, so people like it. I don't know if there's necessarily a market for a Love Boat reboot, but maybe there is.
I think you try it with the, you know, hey, anything with good writing. I'm not a science fiction guy. I watched a show about dragons, you know, because there was good writing in Game of Thrones. So, you know, to me, it always comes down to the writing. If you can write anything well and attract people. We were talking to Sarah Yacoub in the last segment about legislation that does and doesn't get passed at the state and federal level. And we're going to take some time off and on today to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act. It's kind of like Troy McClure, you know, Troy McClure on The Simpsons. So yeah, you might remember me from such shows as the Inflation Reduction Act. You might remember it from a previous incarnation called Build Back Better. Build Back Better was President Biden's original domestic package after taking care of, you know, certain crises like the pandemic and the economic crash that resulted from the pandemic. So we had things like the, you know, the American Rescue Plan, and there was the bipartisan infrastructure law. But there were still things that a president wanted to get done. And as any president does, this is something every president does. You have a wish list, which, you know, the official term, if you want, is a domestic agenda. There were things he wanted to get done and that other Democrats wanted to get done because they thought they controlled Congress, which would be true if, you know, all 50 Democrats in the Senate, you know, behaved like actual Democrats. Anyhow, so Build Back Better was drafted with all of its many moving pieces. And yeah, it didn't take too long, although in fits and starts, to figure out that, you know, Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kristen Sinema of Arizona were not going to go along for various reasons. Joe Manchin has received more money from the coal and oil and gas industries than any other member of Congress. And Kristen Sinema is just her own person, and not in a great way. You know, this is somebody that ran as somebody that was essentially, you know, a Green Party candidate at one point, and now her main thing has been to protect tax breaks for hedge funds. It's odd. It's been a weird couple of years trying to figure them out. And as a result, go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, it has been a weird couple of years, but I almost think, do you believe that all of the other bipartisan, so the two major accomplishments, the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act, those were both passed 50-50 with Vice President Kamala Harris breaking the tie. But do you believe that had we just jumped right away to reconciliation to do Build Back Better and get it passed, that we could have hit all of these other bipartisan accomplishments that now Democrats can go and use as also running on re-election, that they can find compromise in other areas, but I don't know if those necessarily would have all gotten done had Democrats back in way the beginning of the year passed reconciliation, because it seems like, and the CHIPS bill was one of the best indications of it, Mitch McConnell was willing to play ball on some smaller issues rather than the jumping to those after reconciliation. Because I don't think a post Build Back Better, there would have been all these other bipartisan efforts passed.
Well, I mean, the very first thing I have to say to all of that is, you know, just rejecting the notion of the reconciliation process, because the filibuster has no place in American government. We have these unique situations, the Electoral College, you know, the Senate, which is a byproduct of that, you know, natural gerrymander. You know, we have you know, the Second Amendment has been perversely interpreted in a way to make us unique. And we have this filibuster, which, again, at some point, a body, you know, a body like the Senate, we needed either Al Gore once upon a time or Kamala Harris last year to open up the very first hearing of the first session of the Senate, declare it dead, and, you know, make them do otherwise. Who are you going to run to? But anyway, that's all me putting on my wishes. But there's just, you can set up reasons why certain things should have to get a supermajority. But what we've started from is allowing a filibuster and then carving away the things that the filibuster doesn't cover. And it's just created this mess, which, you know, certainly has a lot of people cynical. And that's what I'm going to be trying to fight through today and beyond, is fight through that cynicism to say that despite all of the hiccups, despite the ridiculousness of Kyrsten Sinema's and Joe Manchin's demands, the fact of the matter is, any domestic agenda needs to be pounded out, needs to, you know, some people need to be made happy. Let's not forget, in 2017, Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell thought their tax bill was sailing through when Ron Johnson put the brakes on it and said, your tax bill is going nowhere until I get another tax break that benefited some billionaires. So not a great example, but again, just to point out that every domestic agenda has some give and take. And that's what we've seen with Build Back Better, you know, getting derailed. And then eventually Joe Manchin and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer put together a package of legislation that was able to get support. But again, it only came after, you know, Kyrsten Sinema forced yet another change to, you know, protect hedge fund managers and other, you know, corporate breaks. But one of the things to keep in mind is that of the many things the Inflation Reduction Act does, is that it does put on that minimum tax on corporations. Let me take care of one thing first. It's good to go from 0 to 15 because you pay taxes, you play by the rules. Most of us pay our taxes and play by the rules. Many companies pay their taxes, play by the rules. So this talking point that, oh, well, every company is just going to pass on that 15%, you know, down to the consumer. No, they're not. Companies, by and large, see their utility bills go up. They see payroll costs go up. They see other things go up. McDonald's has seen its CEO pay go up like crazy, but that didn't necessarily translate into a, you know, a Big Mac that you can't afford anymore. So it's really a matter of fairness. And one of the things that is most fair is to close loopholes that allow very wealthy corporations to take advantage of you and me. We have to make up the difference if we want the roads to be paved, if we want, you know, our men and women in uniform to get paid and such. But it does so much more than that. Along with some tax fairness, it also is going to help with a changing climate by making some of the biggest investments ever in green energy and creating jobs. And yes, Manchin got some provisions in that also protect an oil and gas pipeline in his state of West Virginia. It's not pretty, but that is the sausage making process, that while that got in, so did a landmark level of investments that are going to make electric cars cheaper, for example, and make it cheaper to retrofit your home, where, yeah, you're going to spend some money up front, but you're going to save that and so much more on the back end with lower utility bills. And then there's the whole notion of lower healthcare costs. And I tops amongst that is the way that taxpayers are finally going to save money on the Medicare prescription drug benefit. I have no idea how this has been able to survive this long, but Republicans from the very beginning, when in the Bush administration, was it 2003, I think, passed this, they did so by making sure that Medicare could not negotiate with drug companies for prices, despite having that massive buying power. And I know they don't have the buying power. It's all the recipients who do, who get a discount. But that is besides the point. The fact is that Medicare could have that same buying power that the VA has, and that that, you know, the government has in other areas. And it has somehow managed to survive this long, and it is finally going away. And what is not going away is the temporary premium assistance for people buying healthcare insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. That's going to be preserved, so that's going to keep healthcare costs down as well. That's just the top line stuff. We'll be talking more in the coming day and days about that and about what a landmark piece of legislation this is. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We will wrap up this hour's conversation in just a moment. Yeah.